folks. Second hour of American Journal is on. And believe it or not, the Democrats... And you know, we've talked about this as like, it seems like this is what they're doing, but like, I don't... It would be a very risky move to actually have this as a as an actual strategy, to have policies that are so completely insane that you get away with them because people don't even believe it's happening. It's one of those things. They do it so overtly, so in your face. They are so off the reservation that the average person that isn't watching this stuff like actually cannot wrap their mind around the fact that it's true and instead just choose not to believe it. It's an article from The Tablet called The Democrats' Insanity Defense. They say the same GOP staffer who's currently working on a competitive congressional race told me that one problem his campaign regularly faces is that aspects of Democratic governance are simply too insane for voters to find credible, even when they're documented as official U.S. government policy. Quote, when you outline the Democratic agenda, you have to water it down because in both polling and focus groups, people just don't believe it. They're critical of things like boys and girls sports, but they tune out stuff about schools not informing parents about transitioning their children. They just don't believe it's true. It can't be. Same thing with 9-month abortions, right? I'm just trying to let this sink in for a minute. That Democrats have policies, not just one, but like a variety of policies that are so crazy, people tune them out. They can't. It's like the Westworld robots being told they're robots. They can't hear it. They can't see it. It passes in one ear and out the other. Because your brain automatically goes through the process of like when you hear something like the government is taking children away from parents who refuse to transition them, or schools are secretly transitioning the gender of children in school without telling the parents, fast tracking them to life altering, permanently disfiguring medical intervention on the basis of the brainwashing that they're engaged in. And automatically, your mind goes through the domino effect of like, if that's happening, what else is happening? If they're doing this and I don't know about it, they're doing it in secret. This is an attack on me. Like, your brain immediately is like, it gets what a big deal it is. And it's such a big deal. I think it's like a defense mechanism. It just blocks it out. Just goes, I can't contend in a world where this is true. I can't wrap my mind around, like, for everything that I think I know to be true, this can't be true. So it must not be true. And just think about the number of these policies that like just people would not believe. And they don't believe. They literally think. And it, like to me, this was kind of a revelatory article, because like we kind of know this, get the idea, and like we experience it. But you always kind of have the impression that it's like, oh, these people are just uninformed. And you'll see a guy on the street, man on the street interview or whatever, and you say like, yeah, they're transitioning kids in secret without telling the parents. People just go, bah, it's not happening. You go, well, you're just uninformed. No, it's so crazy. These people can't be informed. They cannot be informed about this stuff, because to tell them the truth puts up a defensive firewall in their mind that rejects reality outright, because the implications of reality are just that terrifying. Abortion at 9 months, secretly transitioning children, flying in migrants by the millions and paying them with debit cards to stay here. We'll be right back.
Many of the supplements available at thealexjonesstore.com are the latest cutting edge, highest rated game changers that have been discovered through research. And that's wonderful. But many of the products there are known, tried and true staples like elderberry. It's just that ours is high quality, very strong, concentrated, and at a competitive price. Especially if you get more than one bottle, then it's some of the best prices you'll find anywhere. And your purchase funds our operations against the globalist, a 360 win. So get your concentrated elderberry, particularly right now in the fall and winter, and you take it as a preventative ahead of time. And what the wives' tales said hundreds of years ago, now with modern science we know, it boosts your immune system, it's antiviral. So now, high-quality ultimate elderberry, scientific name, Sambucus, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's good for your body, and it funds the InfoWar.
Hour of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm telling you this article kind of explains everything, and it again reemphasizes the importance of the information war. Atrazine is a great example, right? It sounds crazy. It sounds too insane to be true. Because people recognize what, and I mean, look, let's just think of the number of things that, like, I can just think of in my own, in like our own history, right? Frogs being turned gay because of chemicals. You've got, I was just thinking of another one. Well, 9/11 being an inside job. The transing of children, the genital mutilation of children, and I just like what do you do? I don't know, I'm kind of freaking out about this article. Things are so crazy, people don't believe it. Reality is so insane. The average person literally can't contend with it, cannot even fathom where we are at this point. It's so crazy. So, and they talk about some of the phrases that are used, because, like, it really, one of the sort of upsetting things about this is how effective wordplay is and the skill that the leftists have in just creating these phrases that are just lies, but everybody gloms onto them. And they describe it a little bit here. It's like, flip a switch and now it's gender affirming care. Flip a switch and now it's undocumented migrants or undocumented Americans. Flip a switch and now you can change people's pronouns. They come up with these phrases like gender-affirming care, calling abortion women's health care. And it's like, is it really that simple? It's really that easy for them to trick you? What it is genital mutilation. What they call it is gender-affirming care. And they address in this article how calling it genital mutilation is so, like, off-putting that people reject the idea outright. But that's the accurate term. So because they just call it something else, the reality is fine now? No, it's still genital mutilation. That's what it is by definition. There's no ambiguity about this. But if you call it that, people think you're crazy. And that's the compounding aspect of this. Their policies are so crazy, people don't believe it actually is happening. When you try to explain to them that it's actually happening, you're the one that sounds crazy. And they think you are a whack job for talking about what they're actually doing. This is a problem. We have a big problem here. They said the result for anyone skeptical of the Democratic Party yet bound to operate within the consensus reality of its discourse is akin to living in a wilderness of mirrors. I like that. Bound to operate within the consensus reality of its discourse. Expected to contend with these ideas on the basis of the fraudulent way that they frame it. Because look at something like the migration crisis. You've got invaders pouring across the border. But if you call them asylum seekers, well, doesn't it seem brutal and unnecessary to use the military to deport asylum seekers? Refugees, right? You get this image of some poor family. Dad has been killed in the war and is running away from the enemy forces. And so by just changing that label, suddenly you've gone from acknowledging an actual invasion to now you're the bad guy who wants to further terrorize poor, innocent asylum seekers. You can be against genital mutilation. Nobody understands that. If you're against gender-affirming care, you want trans people to commit suicide? You want confused little kids to be denied the necessary medical care that could save their life? You're a monster. And it's really as simple as just labeling it something else. Okay. All right. I guess that's how it is. How to explain, for example, that elected Democrats in the Biden White House are down support not only taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners and illegal aliens, but policies that allow schools to socially transition kids without informing their parents. How do you explain, without sounding like a lunatic, that the newspapers and expert bodies that recommend life-altering surgeries for children and defend them as life-saving or medical necessary care, opposed only by cranks and Bible thumpers, either don't know what they're talking about or are lying to you for political reasons? This is what I mean. When you understand that gender-affirming care is genital mutilation, that's the domino effect I'm talking about your brain going through, where it's going, so wait, the doctors wearing scrubs in hospitals, talking on NBC News about the powerful love of gender-affirming care, are actually engaged in genital mutilation? Like, what does that mean about our society, that these people are doing this and lying about it, and the media is presenting the lie as if it's true, knowing full well it's not, that they're setting up kids for lifetimes of misery? Gender-affirming care is genital mutilation. It eliminates the possibility that kid will ever experience sexual gratification for their entire lives. That's on record. There are people that do these surgeries who say, yeah, I've never, like, we're just denying them sexual gratification for the rest of their life. Like, they're mutilated. We're tearing apart their genitals and stitching them back together wrong. So, yeah, it really is that crazy, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Like, we're not the crazy ones. They're actually doing this. We're just talking about it. Like, what the hell? Again, people just understand. They understand, like, how it's like the vaccine passports, right? Talked about it a million times. In the beginning of 2020, when we saw down the line where everything was headed, we cut them off at the pass and said, before the vaccine had even, you know, been mentioned in official mainstream media, we said, not only are they going to do a vaccine, there's going to be a vaccine passport. There's going to be a surveillance system that tracks whether or not you've had this medical intervention and will deny you from participation in society without it. When we said there's going to be a vaccine passport, immediately everybody was outraged and thought it was insane. Because they understand. You instantly get it, of course. That's crazy. That would be the biggest violation of human rights the world has ever seen. Until they get indoctrinated into it, until you change the name of it a little bit, until you call it contact tracing rather than total 24/7 surveillance based off of the medical industry. And then they call you a conspiracy theorist and dangerous for saying what is actually happening. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. The claim that such surgeries were rarely, if ever, performed on children was also a lie. How do you explain that when President Biden, the kindly old moderate, directed his Department of Health and Human Services to address the barriers and exclusionary policies keeping children from accessing gender medicine? What he was describing was a policy that would see members of his own administration pressuring medical agencies to allow procedures such as breast and penis removal to be performed on young children, despite the lack of any proof that these measures contribute to greater mental or physical health. How do you explain that? How do you explain just how wicked and demonic and satanic this entire agenda is? And this is one of the things that, you know, it's not just leftists that this affects. Getting over this, the initial reaction is why you have people like Tucker Carlson waking up and RFK Jr. joining on and Russell Brand, like all these guys that have seemingly fully woken up at this point to the whole constellation of criminality that we're dealing with. For years, they thought Alex Jones was crazy. Megyn Kelly saying, oh yeah, we found out atrazine actually does make the frogs gay. We couldn't believe it. Of course, they hid it and disguised it and didn't mention it. The gay frogs, the transgenderism, the globalism, the one world government. All of these things sound so crazy. And you have to have a certain level of I don't know what it is, intelligence, courage. Like, you have to have something that can actually let you realize how bad things are. I guess it's I don't know, confidence or something. It's like, that's why we talk about, you know, fear being the mind killer, fear being the real epidemic. Like, people are scared of confronting reality. They're scared of letting themselves understand how we got to this point and where we are. Crazy. It's crazy. I spent the whole show on this one article. Another Republican operative made a related point on the failure of the party's attempt to message on trans issues in 2022, which was that the reality of the procedures was so gruesome that voters simply preferred not to think about it. Phrases like genital mutilation are disgusting and viscerally off-putting, even to voters who may be sympathetic to the Republicans' positions, but will write you off as a freak for talking about it that way. Okay. Okay. So you've got one group of people doing genital mutilations. You've got the other group of people calling it genital mutilation. And it's people calling it genital mutilation that people are outraged and disgusted by, while the actual genital mutilation is celebrated and called gender-affirming care. And by the way, this might be a good time to bring up this article from the Daily Mail. Most gender-confused children grow out of it, landmark 15-year study concludes, as critics say it shows trans as being is usually just a phase for kids. 11% of adolescents reported being unhappy with their gender. 19% who reported unhappiness as kids no longer expressed it as adults. The majority of gender-confused children grow out of that feeling by the time they're fully grown adults. Researchers in the Netherlands tracked more than 2,700 children from age 11 to their mid-20s, asking them every 3 years about feelings about their gender. Results showed that at the start of the research, around 1 in 10 children expressed gender non-contentedness to varying degrees, but by age 25, just 1 in 25, down to 4%, said they often or sometimes feel discontent with their gender. The researchers concluded the result of the current study might help adolescents to realize that it's normal to have some doubts about one's identity and one's gender identity during this age period, and this is also relatively common. And they know this. So this is what I mean, where everybody's in on it, where like it truly is a system-wide conspiracy for this to continue. Everybody actually doing this stuff knows fully well what they're doing. It almost gives it, you know, it's almost like relieving to know that Americans are going along with this stuff because they're ignorant and not insane. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that you've got half of America saying, yeah, I support gender-affirming care, like, that's horrifying. It's actually kind of refreshing to know, like, oh, okay, they just don't know what that is. They just don't know what they're supporting. It's not that everyone in America thinks it's cool to perform genital mutilation on confused 10-year-olds. It's that they don't realize that's happening. So in a way, it's like for the wider American public, some of the polls that we see of them supporting this stuff or the way that they talk about it in interviews and that sort of thing, it's kind of nice to know, like, okay, if they just knew what they're really supporting, they wouldn't support it. They're not crazy. They're just uninformed. They're just ignorant. They just are mental cowards that cannot contend with reality without their brain breaking. It's kind of nice. That's not the case with the doctors, obviously, right? They know what they're doing. That's not the case with the media. They know what they're doing. That's not the case with the scientific journals that refuse to publish the studies that show that transgenderism is a social contagion or that kids grow out of it, that intervention, medical interventions on trans kids not only doesn't improve their condition, it often makes it worse and gives them lifelong crippling medical conditions and removes their genitals. Healthy, perfectly functional body parts for no reason. They know. You think the doctors don't know what they're doing? Think the media doesn't know what's really happening? You think the moderators at the debate are confused about this? They know. They all know. The medical board, Brown Medical Journal, prestigious Ivy League university, withdrew. They published it at first because they accidentally, you know, did some real science, and the study showed that transgenderism was a social contagion. It was a phenomenon of influence, of social pressure. It's not a real medical diagnosis. They accidentally published that for a few days, but then the transgenders got mad, so they took it down. So they know what they're doing. And that's the thing that people's mind reels at, is understanding that if they admit that this is true, if they admit that it's gender mutilation, if they admit that there are schools secretly transitioning children, propagandizing them into transgenderism, transitioning them socially in secret without the parents' knowledge, putting them on a fast track to medical intervention, hormones, or genital mutilation surgery, and then if the parents speak out against their child being indoctrinated into this cult, the state will take that child away and give it to a transgender pedophile. And that all of this is entirely unnecessary because the intervention, the medical intervention, kind of like the COVID shot, doesn't actually help the condition, usually makes things worse. Suicidality goes up after gender-affirming care. Studies have been done over and over and over. And the kids grow out of it. It's totally unnecessary. Totally unnecessary in a variety of different ways. Like, it's just... So if you acknowledge that, then you have to de facto acknowledge that everybody in the media is lying to you. Thousands upon thousands of people in the medical industry do not have your best interest in mind. That makes you ask, what is the ulterior motive for this? Because if it's not about protecting trans kids, if it's not about providing actual health care to people that actually need it, then what is it about? Right? You have to look for the ulterior motive, like we say all the time. You don't need an excuse to tell the truth, but you do need an excuse to tell a lie. So if all of these people are lying, why are they lying? They know the truth, but they're lying to you. Why is that? What ulterior motive could they have? When you think about that, you think, well, what ulterior motive could there be for genitally mutilating children? That these people are sick, diabolical monsters? They hate humanity? That they are unspeakably subversive and satanic? And then you realize not only are these people, they have to be that bad because they know the truth and they're lying, they're doing these horrible things and they're covering it up. I mean, they aren't insane. They know what they're doing. Like in criminal justice, I can't think of a good example right now, but like, you know, there's knowledge of guilt, right? So if you're covering up something, if you kill somebody and then lie about what you were doing, they know, like, okay, He killed the person. He's lying to cover it up. But if it was like an accidental thing and you're just telling the truth, like you don't have a reason to lie. The fact that you're lying means you have guilty knowledge, means you know what you're doing is wrong. So they know what they're doing is wrong. They know what they're doing is evil. They're doing it anyway. They're lying to cover it up. And yet they have inordinate power in our society. Right? That's the other level of domino falling. That's the other conclusion that you inevitably have to come to, is the realization that not only are the people doing this as evil as you can possibly imagine, the things they're doing are truly unspeakable. And again, not just the trans stuff. Think about 9-month abortions, right? It's another thing that people, I mean, on the debate, they're just like, that is insane. He's J.D. Vance in the debate with Tim Walz literally quotes the law. He quotes the law that allows for 9-month abortion. And the response from Tim Walz is, that's not true. It's rejected outright. He's quoting the law, but he just says, no, it's not true. He's lying. He's lying. They're all lying. So 9-month abortion, the way, you know, immigrants are being treated, the eating of cats and dogs by Haitians, all of these things. It's the same pattern over and over. They do something so insane that when we talk about it, they lie about it and say these people are crazy for saying this, or racist for saying this, or whatever excuse for saying this. And so, you know, not only do these people realize that they're being lied to, do they realize that the people doing this are despicably, unspeakably evil, but they're everywhere and they're in charge of all of our institutions. They're all complicit in this. The heads of the political parties are in on this, and the heads of the medical boards and the heads of the academies and universities and the heads of the media are all involved in this cover-up, in this deception, in this campaign of medically unnecessary, purposeful deformation of children's bodies. Like, yeah, it's a lot, folks. It's a lot to come to terms with. It's a lot to realize. You got to be brave, okay? We got to all be brave today, boys and girls. We have to all understand this is just reality. And you ignoring it is why it's gotten to this point. You refusing to acknowledge what's actually happening is why it's happening. So, I mean, like, was it earlier this week or last week? I was going through the rant of just like, we got to stop being naive. We got to stop assuming that other people have our best interest in mind. Got to be able to project a mindset of sickening evil to even comprehend what these people are up to. I know you're not a bad person. I know this would never occur to you to do these sorts of things. But they're happening. There are people doing these things. They're all in on it. They all know what's really happening. They're all tricking you. They're all lying to you. It really is that bad. And all it takes to overcome all of it is your basic awareness. And also your ability to trust people who have proven to be trustworthy. When you've been told for 30 years that Alex Jones is insane, but everything he says is true, next time he says something crazy, don't have the knee-jerk reaction of ignoring it, because it's just that mind-bendingly evil. We're confronting evil here. This is what it's like.
I didn't realize how good the VIP thing was. So when I saw this the other day, I said, I better talk about this. So if you're a member of the Alex Jones VIP Club at alexjonesstore.com/VIP, or there's just a big link at the top of the page. This is a critical time in our nation. We don't know what the future holds for the operation. The following information I'm about to relay to you is imperative so we can stay in touch, you can get great products, and keep me on the air one way or the other along with the crew. Monthly member credits. Every month as a VIP member, you get $40 of free store credit. Did you hear what I just said? That's right. It's like money in your pocket with the best products on the planet. So you pay $30 to be a VIP, and then you get $40 free. That's $10 you make. All the Alex Jones products at the best prices. We're talking about 10 to even 40% off the already existing sales. So sometimes it becomes lost leaders in the store 24/7, 365 days a year. This is an unbeatable pricing you'll never find anywhere else. Automatic double entries in any of the giveaways, like the awesome turbo diesel super truck, $138,000 value, plus $1,000 cash. The winner of the sweepstakes will be announced on the 30th this month. You want to win? I know you do. As a VIP, you'll get double entries in every single giveaway. No effort, just double your chances, just like that. Exclusive VIP-only giveaways. This is where it gets big, folks. VIP members get entered into their own exclusive giveaways every month. Nobody else is allowed in these. Early access to products, promos, and giveaways. VIP members get first access to new products, promotions, and giveaways before anyone else. You're in the know. Oh, and did I mention orders over $99? Free shipping. We're not letting shipping costs slow you down. It just goes on from there. So, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Or just at the top of thealexjonesstore.com, you see the VIP button.
Hey, everyone. My name is John. I have been selected this month as the VIP of the month winner. Surprisingly, I received this check for $1,000 in the mail. And it was awesome. It really did surprise me. I had no idea that it was coming. And I wanted to say thank you to everybody at the Alex Jones Store. For taking care of us and getting your orders out quickly. Keep up the good fight.
We're fighting the new world order. I don't have billionaire backers. I am not controlled by anybody but my own soul, my own brain. I'm trying to do the best job I can. TheAlexJonesStore.com, it's up to you whether you want to back the number one broadcaster that the enemy hates the most. I mean, they literally hate my guts. Because they know I'm for real, and I can't be bought, and I can't be intimidated, and I'm wild, and I scare them. Irish sea moss has been all the rage in the last 5 years because when folks started discovering it, it took the country and the world by storm because of the incredible effects it has. It's probably the greatest superfood out there, full of organic-based iodine and a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals. And we've got the gummies and the capsules now in stock at thealexjonesstore.com that are some of the strongest and best out there. Up to 55% off when you get three bottles, over 40% off when you get two bottles, 40% off when you get one bottle, and it's in stock right now, Ultimate Sea Moss, at our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, check out the hundreds of designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, and hoodies. And regardless what happens to InfoWars here in the next 28 days, ladies and gentlemen, your support of our sponsor will make sure I am able to stay on air. So please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get the Ultimate Sea Moss gummies and capsules, as well as other amazing supplements and Patriot apparel. God bless you. Now, thanks for the support.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. You know, on the phone lines for your calls. A little bit later in this hour, we'll take your calls at the beginning of the second hour, and then at 10:30, I'll be joined by a guest, Taylor Kramer, who is a great border reporter, and we'll talk about the problems at the border, or rather the problems across the country because of the open border. Actually, let's go to a video on this because we are once again confirmed in our initial interpretation of the value of J.D. Vance. He is talking about mass immigration in a way that not even Donald Trump is. Clip number 7 here. Here's J.D. Vance on mass immigration.
Similarity across all American classes. If you have a permanent class of low-wage serfs, many of whom don't even speak English, that destroys the citizenship ethos that makes our democracy possible in the first place. These people don't care because they want the cheap labor. I care because I love my country.
A lot of people look at America more as a financial opportunity than a country.
And it's not. It can't be that. Right? American citizenship cannot just be a bunch of people who like work and make financial transactions with one another. You don't go and fight wars because like the guy down the street makes a lot of money trading derivatives on Wall Street, right? You go and fight wars if you have a nation that you believe in. And importantly, if you have faith that your leaders are only going to send you to fight a war when they have to.
And this is
and
not
that's
only
what's been broken.
Right. And this is not only America. It's countries all over the world, all over Europe. Globalization, the benefits of it have been unevenly distributed, to say the least. You have a class of people that are, many of them own assets.
Yes.
And they've seen the value of those assets increase. Many of them are invested in the market. And they're incredibly happy with the freedom to move capital around the world and make lots and lots of money. But the citizens of the countries that they live, their standards of living have been lowered and lowered and lowered.
Correct.
And this is not, it's not only America, it's this financial architecture that is seems to be replacing people's cultures, histories, and idea of what a nation is.
Yeah, and the real economy too, right? We used to make stuff, and now we're trading derivatives and shipping dollars overseas, but also shipping assets overseas, where we used to make that stuff in the United States. I mean, crazy statistic. What do you think the life premium for having a bachelor's degree is in this country? In other words, if you have a bachelor's degree, how much longer do you live than a person without a bachelor's degree?
10 years?
7 years.
Wow.
7 years. You live 7 years longer for having gone to college in the United States of America. You put this well. The way that I would put it is globalization, it's been very good for rich people in rich countries, and it's been very good for poor people in poor countries.
Right.
It's been extraordinarily bad for poor people and middle-class people in rich countries, right?
Right.
And in some ways, the whole Donald Trump movement is a rebellion against okay, well, some people have benefited from this. Like some people benefited when my steel mill, the steel mill that employed my grandfather for 40 years, when it went from 10,000 jobs to 1,800 jobs, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't the people that I grew up around, and it wasn't our families, and it wasn't the moms and dads who got divorced because the dad usually, but sometimes the mom lost a stable middle-class wage. I mean, again, Republicans are like, we're supposed to be the party of family and of family values. You know what's really bad for family values? When thousands of people at the drop of a hat lose a good middle-class wage.
Right.
Right? That's not good for family values. That destroys families. And again, we can do so much better, but we've got to get away from this failed consensus the last 40 years.
But
just incredible. It's just incredible to just hear a politician talking about this, but the next potential vice president talking this way about globalism. She calls globalization. There's a little bit of difference there, but he's right. He's 100% right. I've said forever, if I ever ran for president, wouldn't be make America great again, it'd be make citizenship mean something again. So we're supposed to be a team here. We're supposed to all be on the same team. I thought that was incredibly powerful because he actually gets to the heart of the matter and talks about, you know, having this slave class basically of low paid workers. They can constantly replenish, by the way. That's the other aspect of this. In case you're not familiar, there is a difference between globalism and globalization. Globalization is an inevitable fact of technology. It's just transportation and communication improving and making distances mean less. And that, you know, corresponds to things like trade and manufacturing things overseas. But globalism is about creating a one world government that takes advantage of globalism and utilizes globalism and its methods, but has a much deeper ideological motive. And again, I hope this is what we can get across to people. I hope people understand why, you know, politics is actually important, especially with the Trump phenomenon and the awareness growing of what's actually motivating some of the insane policies that we see. And you can only imagine if Trump had been defeated in 2016, or if he'd never been anything other than a meme candidate. You can just imagine how all of these things would be proceeding at a pace. And yet the only discussion about it would be half-hearted, symbolic resistance from the likes of Jeb Bush. Trump
rescued us from that. He has given us an opportunity to do something really incredible here, which is set things right and just get back to just basic reality. And let me do two things here, because the story about Biden calling everybody calling all Trump supporters garbage has taken on an interesting dimension that corresponds to everything else that we're talking about, where yet again the Democrats are just blatantly lying to your face. It's just so insulting. So I want to get to that in just a second. But I finally found the prediction I made last year, talked about it a lot. I finally found it. It was from December 14th of last year. And this was my prediction for 2024, because at the time, either Trump had just been arrested, maybe this was like shortly after his mugshot, but everybody was wondering what's going to happen when Trump goes to jail. What's going to happen when Trump gets sentenced? What's going to happen? Can he campaign from prison? You know, how's this going to work? And so I sat down and thought about it with a very simple premise to operate on. The premise is that most, if not all, of what we see in politics, in the media, is a show, is coordinated, is orchestrated, is not real, but designed for specific outcomes. And that these designs are initiated and carried out by the most evil people in the world, whose number one desire is to eradicate the power and influence and sovereignty of the United States. So if you just look at the world through that lens, if you imagine yourself as an evil supervillain with all the levers of power and control at your disposal, your ultimate goal is the humiliation and dispossession of the American people, what would you do? How would you orchestrate world events? And this is what I came up with. I said, if I was the man behind the curtain, I would let the 2024 campaign play out, increasing tensions over the next 10 months as Trump defeats lawsuits and charges with a steady stream of manufactured crises, keeping everybody on edge and at each other's throats. I would let Trump win, activate leftist mobs to riot in opposition, doing nothing to oppose them. Then, just before being inaugurated, take out Trump with a useful patsy, either a neo-Nazi extremist or Hamas militant, or maybe even a leftist. After abusing right-wingers and normal Americans for another year, keeping them from boiling over by dangling the hope of Trump, only to snatch victory away at the last minute, orchestrate violence in response, and crack down on Republicans in a way that make January 6th look like a picnic, if I were the most evil people in the world and wanted to cause the most amount of damage to America, this would be my strategy. So most of that prediction pertains to what happens after the election. And hey, maybe this is just happening without coordination. Maybe this is all taking place in a totally uncontrolled environment. But I've been right so far. And it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, for months, this was last December, and for months before that, for months after, there's all this discussion about whether Trump is going to go to prison. And I was just... How was I able to tell you in December that he was going to get through all of that? That none of that was going to be a barrier to him becoming president? I didn't actually know. I didn't have any inside information. It's just, that's what like had to happen. It just had to happen. It wasn't going to work any other way. The schemes at play would be interrupted if Trump went to prison. So Trump's not going to prison. And that's just how it is. So I hope I'm wrong about what happens after the election. I really do. But in the 10 months since I wrote this, everything that we've seen, I mean, they literally already tried to kill him with the neo-Nazi extremist. They didn't succeed, but that's just one of the, you know, manufactured crises keeping everybody on edge. So when you talk about manipulating mass psychology, this is what will work best. Stopping Republicans from lashing out by dangling the hope of Trump, even allowing them victory, activating the leftist right squads, killing Trump and then going after all of his supporters just as they're about to achieve final victory and inaugurate Trump himself. So again, just a guess, just a little supposition, just a little prediction for you. But I think that's been the plan for a very long time. And we were able to call it all the way back in December by simply looking at patterns and asking ourselves, if I was an evil scumbag and had control of the world, what would I do? Now, I don't like spending like the whole show on one particular story. I mean, I've covered a bunch, but the story of Joe Biden calling Trump supporters garbage is so, it encapsulates so much of what we talk about here. It's like a real time unfolding as we speak example of what we talk about all the time. The hatred of the Democrats, the way they gaslight you right to your face. And it's all right here. Okay. And they're trying to just tell you it doesn't exist. Like, it's the gaslighting at this point. It's too much. I guess they can get away with it. I guess they have achieved that critical mass of American people or the extremity of their policies that like the American people just don't believe it. Like maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe they see a headline that says Biden calls Trump supporters garbage. And just like when they hear about trans kids being secretly transitioned in their school and they hear about 9-month abortion, when they hear about vaccine passports, when they hear about lab created viruses, when they hear the president of the United States called half of the American citizenry garbage, they just go, that can't be true. There's no way. You must be lying by saying that. You must be crazy for saying that. Like, is this everything? Is this the secret to the Democrat success, that like everything they do is so objectionable and wrong that they can just do anything because nobody believes that the most powerful party in the United States would be led by such hateful, despicable, deceptive trash? These people are trash. Specifically, the people lying to you about this. God, I mean, there's just so many layers to this. Because you know, I don't have the kindest words for our leftist neighbors all the time. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm not sitting up here acting like, you know, calling your political opponents names is something that's off limits. I'm also not president of the United States, you know. I'm also a talk show radio host who tries to be funny sometimes. So it's like there's so many layers to this where like even if it was just a one for one, like some comedian got up and was like, Puerto Ricans are trash. And then Biden got up and said, actually, Trump supporters are trash. Like, it still wouldn't be equal because you're the president of the United States and he's a comedian. But he didn't even call them trash and you did. And it just goes on and on. And the like craziest part about it is the fact that this is not outside of the normal rhetoric of leftists. They're out here trying desperately to convince you that this never happened, that Biden never called Trump supporters garbage. We played you the clip. He definitely did. They're trying to tell you that Biden never said this and cover up for it. But this is like your party platform. This might as well be your manifesto. It's what you've run on the entire time. The only difference is you called them garbage and not Nazi garbage. Like, call them Nazi. Half of our country is Nazi garbage. Say everybody that supports Trump is Nazi garbage. Then you have like the Democratic slogan, their mission statement encapsulated in a single sentence. So what are we supposed to do? I mean, how many examples? J.D. Vance, one of Kamala Harris's biggest donors, is doubling down on calling the half the country garbage. Will Kamala Harris and her campaign return his contributions, or will they continue to insult half the country for the sin of thinking Kamala Harris isn't good at her job? Vinod Khosla says garbage is an understatement for MAGA extremists. Biden suggests MAGA supporters are garbage after the comic insult of Puerto Rico. So he's one of the biggest donors to Kamala Harris. And he's like, garbage? They're worse than garbage. This is like the only time that the Democrat messaging isn't always in lockstep, like perfectly in PC style, saying all of the same stuff, is when you have somebody like Joe Biden say half the country is garbage. And then, you know, some of the people that are in the loop and the whatever, the politicians, the talking heads, they get the message that like, gee, this was a mistake. Let's pretend it didn't happen. The talking point here is actually he never said the thing that he said. Actually, the tape that we just showed you, there was an apostrophe that you just didn't hear. They got that message, but then before that message can proliferate, you have some people sort of giving the game away and coming out and going, no, yeah, we believe they're all garbage. Yeah, they're all garbage. They're worse than garbage. Biden was right, and he was too nice. And it's like, ooh, you didn't get the message. No, we're pretending this didn't happen, actually. We're pretending we aren't terrible people who hate white Americans. Tim Walz responds to President Biden's garage garbage gaffe, saying, quote, President Biden was very clear. He's speaking about the rhetoric we heard at that rally. So it doesn't undermine it. People are hungry to come back together. I mean, folks, if you have an ambition to be like a serial killer, or, you know, if you've ever wanted to like beat your wife, keep her in a state of terrified submissiveness, take notes from the Democrats. This is gaslighting 101. This is gaslighting. These people are the Leonardo da Vinci of gaslighting. It is a truly an art. It's an art for these people. Should we play the clip again? Should we play Joe Biden saying it? Because he said it. He said it. You know, it's almost like a corollary to a similar thing we covered yesterday with the, you know, Jake Tapper talking about the Russia collusion hoax or the very fine people hoax, where it's just Don Trump going, I condemn completely white supremacists. And then it cuts back to Jake Tapper going, he refuses to condemn white supremacists. Well, one of us is crazy, or you're a liar. This is sort of the opposite. Joe Biden says the only trash I saw floating out there are his supporters. And then Tim Walz, who wants to be your vice president, gets up and says, he never said that. He didn't say it. No, his message and our message is come together. People are hungry to come back together. And Biden was very clear that he's speaking about their rhetoric. Is he? No. Again, the people in the know got this message. The people not in the know didn't. But here's some of the people in the know. Clip number 17, CNN panelist. Just lying to your face, just gaslighting in a way that make Patrick Bateman blush. It's really incredible. Let's watch.
Say though, Bakari, he was in his house, the White House. He was in his house doing this, and the reporting is that there are places that he can be useful, but he's not everywhere like you might expect a sitting president to be for his vice president.
I don't know that I would expect this president to be everywhere in this moment. I mean, look, a critical element, any coach will tell you, any CEO will tell you, a critical element of running a team and winning is assessing the strengths and weaknesses of your team members and making sure you allocate them in the right way. Joe Biden has never been a big arena speaker. He's never been the most fluid speaker. And by the way, as someone who had a stutter growing up, it's very obvious to me there's an apostrophe at the end of supporters there. He was referring to the garbage spewed by supporters, not simply the supporters themselves. But Joe Biden has been on the campaign trail. He's best getting ice cream in Maryland like he was today. He's best showing moments of empathy in Arizona like he was last week. He's best with union folks as he was in Pittsburgh last week as well. You use people where they are best. You put Obama in a big arena, you put Michelle in a big arena, and you put Joe Biden in front of a bunch of union people doing retail politics.
You could make the argument that they would be fine if Joe Biden wasn't anywhere near a microphone between now and next Tuesday.
Let me just accept the most charitable framing of this, which you just gave.
Yeah.
Why is he sitting in front of a laptop at the exact same moment Kamala Harris is out on his backyard trying to give the closing argument to her campaign? What in the world is he doing? Now, I don't accept your framing of it personally, because I actually do believe he, Harris, the Democratic Party, and most of their campaign do believe that half the country is garbage. They've also said people who go to Trump rallies are Nazis. And so it's pretty apparent the disdain with which they hold half of the country in.
But as a Kamala speech tonight.
But as a tactical matter today.
No, but you don't just get to say that.
Why in the world is Joe Biden giving remarks at the same
I'll give you that.
My God. As somebody who used to have a stutter, it's pretty clear there is an apostrophe S. First of all, that sentence just doesn't make any sense. That doesn't mean anything. As somebody that used to drive a speedboat, he put an apostrophe S at the end of that. He didn't stutter. What is going on here?
He can see words and he can hear colors.
Yeah. We got some of that going on here. But again, in just the last like 3 days, sports host Jameel Hill, noted, you know, Democrat supporter, calls white men, quote, the worst thing in America. I've got a video I can't even show you because it hasn't been censored, but it's a Democratic organizer saying in no uncertain terms, it's the Harris campaign organizer saying F white women. We're doing outreach to white women. White women. Who cares about white women? The other woman laughs like, okay, so you've got a Democratic Party who, like, your entire platform is F these people. We hate these people. These people, because of how they're born and how they look, are the worst people in the world and deserve to be destroyed. And then they cry crocodile tears at some comedian making a joke calling the island of Puerto Rico a floating garbage island. Okay. Great.
One last thing. Let me just put a bow on top. You know, as someone who has watched Joe Biden throughout the years, he was very eloquent in the way that he used the N-word, and I don't think he ever used it with a stutter. Okay.
I mean, a stutter.
The dude, and it is unbelievable what that dude has gotten away with, right?
I mean, if he stuttered, you could blame that on the stutter. When he says, the only garbage I see are Trump supporters, and you're like, well, he's got a stutter. Okay. Okay, great. Let's get rid of these people.
My mission on air is to tell the truth, to rally humanity, and fight the globalist. And we've done one of the best jobs out there thanks to your support. So we know InfoWars could easily be shut down on November 13th. We're going to find out. But regardless, we've got great sponsors that are backing us to make sure the message of liberty and freedom and the resistance to the WEF, Bill Gates, Barack Obama, King Charles, Kamala Harris, New World Order continues to be in their face and continues to keep myself and the great crew at the tip of the spear. So we have a great sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, with amazing T-shirts and caps and hoodies. They're really some of the best designs out there, and they fund the fight against the New World Order. But we've also brought you some of the very best supplements. And we could have had a whole huge line by now, but we want to go out to the very best companies and get agreements to private label already best sellers that are the top rated. That way we know you're getting the best. So we've got the CMOS gummies, the CMOS capsules, Total Superfood. Then you have the Mega Superfood with over 90 ingredients, the Optimal Human. It's the best of the green drinks out there, hands down. Plus, the energy is amazing. That's all at thealexjonesstore.com. But now we are announcing the Ultimate Probiotic. That's the line, Ultimate. And it's just a very high-quality probiotic, the foundation that everybody needs at a very affordable price. Upwards of 50% off when you buy multiple bottles. Big sales. Everything's at least 30% off when it comes to the supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a high-end, quality probiotic that helps your gut be healthier, helps you absorb nutrients better, helps your whole immune system, and you will find Ultimate Probiotic with $60 billion. That's a very high number if you don't know about probiotics, at thealexjonesstore.com. A whole bunch of other great stuff's coming out in the next few weeks, so continue to check out the URL, thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support. We salute you.